If you are able, you can stand, or if you're not, sit, but make sure you sing. Pray. We do come for the purpose of adoring our Lord and Savior, and we praise our Father for giving us the greatest gift in the world, His Son. We thank you for our great salvation that we have in Christ, and Father, help us to be diligent about sharing the salvation that's available by faith in Christ. So we celebrate His birth. We celebrate His life, we celebrate His death, and we celebrate His resurrection. And Father, we'll give you all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and you will call him, he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her.
Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that had heard that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Amen.
May God bless the reading of his word. Thank you for those who came in. I just want to introduce Diego and his family. Some of you haven't met Diego, but that's Diego. Diego does a English as second language study here on Thursday nights. And he also does two up in Toms River, correct? And our offering tonight is going to go to his ministry. And we're going to supplement that with something from the missions budget also, okay? So we want to encourage you tonight to keep up the good work. All right. Welcome. You know, every pastor, every Christmas struggles with what are we going to talk about tonight? Everybody here knows that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, correct? All right. And you know, Christmas time is so much more than our culture even makes it. It is a time where God finally spoke after 400 years of silence. Okay. Now, I want to classify or clarify that as we go on tonight. God would speak through the prophets in the Old Testament, right? So you had prophets like Daniel, Isaiah, Zechariah, Malachi, Hosea, and other prophets. And the purpose of the prophets were to call God's people or the Gentiles to faith in God, to be obedient to God. It wasn't a popular message. You remember what happened to Jonah? Right? Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, which was a wicked city, a pagan wicked city, and tell them that judgment was coming unless they repented and came to God. Malachi was the last prophet of the Old Testament. Well, I shouldn't say that. He was the last prophet that spoke during the Old Testament. And the reason why I mention that is simply this. Israel was a mess. What happened with Israel could easily happen in the church today, and I fear that the church in North America is in the same sort of trouble. And here's what I mean. Israel forsook the worship of God and put idols in his place. Not only that, they used a temple for abominable things, the scripture says. They desecrated it. And, you know, worship was all about lust. You realize there was even a period of time where nobody could even find the scriptures until Hezekiah came along. So Israel was in a mess. It was in a real mess. I think one of the dangers we face in the American church today is simply this, that many times we put idols in God's place and we don't even realize it. So God chose not to speak through prophets for 400 years. And what I had to do over the last several weeks, I went back and I researched some things. It was very, very revealing to me. And the reason why it was revealing, it forced me back into some of the history books, some of the what's called the extra-biblical books like Maccabees and some other books, just to get some historical data. And I was astounded that although God wasn't speaking through prophets, he was still at work. he was still at work. How do I know that? Because every prophecy Daniel made in those prophetic chapters of Daniel came true. Babylon was defeated. The Persian Mede Empire came into power. Then they dissolved and Rome came into power. See, God never forgot the Israelites, even though they were rebellious. He never forgot them. Have you ever had an unpleasant conversation with somebody? Before I went to seminary, I was in upper management in some very big companies. And, human resources used to say, when you evaluate your employees, give them five good things that they do and before you criticize what they're weak in. And another way of saying that is you got to make a deposit before you make a withdrawal. Well, about 15 years ago, to show you how much stress people have been under, psychologists say now you have to say 15 things that are good before you criticize. And now it's like 25. And, what happened to the prophets in the Old Testament? Does anybody know? They were all killed. Why were they killed? Well, yeah. I mean, they were told that they had to repent, change your mind, your hearts, forsake the way they were going because they replaced God with idolatry, sexual immorality, and a whole host of other things. So if you don't like the message, what do you do with the messenger? You kill him. You kill him. A lot of times we romanticize the gospel. Listen, I like nothing better than proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's our salvation. But when we face the cross, we face ourselves. When we face the cross, we have to deal with our own pride, our own sin. I can remember, I was a sophomore in college, back in the olden days, and a young man sat beside me in the Commons, which was the cafeteria at Rutgers in New Brunswick. And he was very nice. He says, you mind if I talk to you about a few things? And I said, no, not at all. I thought he was going to talk to me about the Yankees or something like that. I was not a believer back then. And he started asking me questions about spiritual things. Started talking to me about Jesus. So I asked him to stop. And he said, well, can I ask you a couple more questions? And he started asking a couple more questions. And I politely told him if he didn't stop, I was going to throw him out. This is true. The problem was I wasn't ready to hear yet. There comes, timing is everything. Timing is everything. Sometimes you're not ready to hear the truth, even when it's spoken in love. Timing is everything. The 400 years that God didn't speak through prophets, God was waiting for the right time. Isn't that incredible? Have you ever gone through life and faced a crisis and think God forgot you? He didn't. And he won't. He's there. He's working. We do a song from Brooklyn Tabernacle called God is Working. And it's great. If you ever want to look at it at YouTube, it's great. God is working, God is working, God is even working now. Even though we don't know just how, God is working. So I want you to see what happens here. Look at the prophecy from Ezra. In the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, the king of Persia, I love that, to make a proclamation throughout his realm, also to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says: "The Lord, the God of heaven, has made me all the kings, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judea. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them." Whoops, sorry. Did I do that, Angel? Emily? Okay, and God is with them. Listen, this is near the end now of that 400-year period where the Hebrews were kind of concerned. They thought that God was giving them the cold shoulder. Did you ever get the cold shoulder from anybody? Right? And they said, "Well, how come God's not talking? Why isn't he talking to us like he did before?" But he had to take care of all this other stuff until the people were ready. You remember the story of the prodigal son? Right? Prodigal son went up to his father and asked him for his inheritance. In the culture, the Hebrew culture back then, that would be the same as you going up to your own parents and say, "I wish you were dead, give me my money now." It's the same thing, right? Father did not argue. He gave him his part of the inheritance. And you remember that he ran off, right? He squandered it. Ended up eating with the pigs. A Jewish person eating with the pigs. And then Luke records for us that he came to his senses. He finally came to his senses. He says, "My dad's servants get treated better than this." And so he went back and he asked for forgiveness, and his father restored him even better than before. Sometimes we got to get to that point before we're ready to listen. Right? Anybody here ever been to that point? Okay, let me go here. Okay. I want you to look at this now. Emily, I need your help here. Bring me to the Galatians passage. Galatians 4. Okay. I want you to read this with me. Paul's writing to the church in Galatia, and he's addressing false teachers, by the way, in this letter to them. But he says this. Would you read this with me? "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born of the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." Just at the set time. Wow. God's never late. He's never early, but he's never late. Why do we have a problem with God's timing? It's not our time, right? In our culture, we lack patience. Isn't that right? We don't like to wait for 10 seconds. If you look back, you ever want to do a study on this? God put Moses in the desert for 40 years to wait. 40 years. God put Paul in the desert for 3 years to wait. Just at the right time. Listen, God always, always comes through at the right time. When was the right time? 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. It was the right time for the Son of God to leave the throne of heaven to come in as a child to a peasant family, the Word became flesh. It's amazing. How would you think a king would come into the world? Spectacularly. Now, he was born in a cave to a carpenter and a peasant girl with all the smells. The king left heaven, put on flesh, fully God, fully man. And when Mary held Jesus, she held God in the flesh. It was the right time. I can't emphasize this enough. We really get blasé in all of this. And you know what blasé means? Blasé means that we take it for granted. That, you know, we know the Christmas story and all. But we lose the radicalness of the Christmas story. This was radical stuff. Jesus, the Savior of the world. The Jews were looking for the Messiah, the political and military Savior of Israel. They couldn't understand what a suffering Savior had to do. And that is to suffer and die for our sins so we can be free of sin. God started to speak. How do I know? Because the scripture says it. You heard about, through the scripture reading, the angel talking to Mary. Can you imagine how Mary was probably 14, 15 years old. Can you imagine how she felt? What would she tell her parents? What would she tell Joseph? Yeah? Something like this is like getting a black eye. Nobody ever believes the right story about a black eye. But this young lady, you know, she was favored. But it didn't mean the road was going to be easy. And God never forgot her. But look, as the volume gets turned up now. And there were shepherds living out in the field. Shepherds were considered one step above prostitutes. They smelled. They were low on the social scale. Keeping watch over their flocks, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news." That's what gospel means, by the way. "That will cause great joy for" who? All people. Not just for Israel, but for all people. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be assigned to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, praising God and singing. They didn't need CNN or Fox News or CBS or ABC or anything else. These shepherds, while they were doing their work, God decides to break in with a news bulletin. Can you visualize this? Have you ever been out so far in the wilderness where there's no light around, and then all of a sudden, this bright light appears? You know how this would probably get explained today? There was a UFO, right? Aliens. Right? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is how stupid we can be. God is finally talking. He's finally speaking. And he's speaking not to the religious people. He's speaking to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those whose favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They knew the Lord was speaking. They knew it. How about us? I really believe, and I've said this before, that God has been shouting at the American church for 20 years to wake up, to hear him, to obey him, to fall in love with Jesus again. Shepherds knew God was speaking. This is big stuff, so they hurried. They didn't dilly-dally, they hurried. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. I want to submit to you, these were the first evangelists. The shepherds. No seminary training, no Bible school. But they acted on faith because of the word of God. And they just told their story. You don't have to go to a special class to share your faith. All you have to do is tell your story. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Wow. Let me go on. On the eighth day after birth, it was customary for the Jewish male to be circumcised. And it said, this is when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to be circumcised. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he was waiting for the salvation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Simeon was old, but he never gave up hope. He knew one day God was going to speak again. And as you're going to find out, his prayer to God was simply this. God, please, don't take me home until I see with my own eyes the salvation of the world. Look what happens. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. A light for revelation to who? Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. It's an amazing passage. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. To be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also. Excuse me for one second. I don't know about you, but I believe what God says. And the reason why I'm spending so much time on this tonight is because I also believe that Jesus is coming back again. Just as he came the first time. When a time is right, he's going to come back again. And the question is, will we be found ready when he comes back? Paul says it this way, will we be found in Christ when he comes? There's just one more thought I want to go over with you. I don't even know if I put it in here. Let me see. Oh, okay. I'm running short on time, so I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version. The next time God starts to speak is through what is truly the last Old Testament prophet, and that is John the Baptist. This crazy guy, people thought he was crazy. He wasn't really crazy, but he was in the desert by the Jordan, right? And just like any prophet would, he was calling people to repentance. Confess your sin. Come back to God. Repent. And be for the forgiveness of your sins. And he was preparing the way for Jesus to come on the scene. This got through the whole countryside. It upset the Pharisees so much that when John saw them, the Pharisees were the religious leaders at the time, and he looked at him and he said, "You brood of vipers, you look good on the outside, you look religious, but inside, you're rotten because you're self-righteous." So, John came, God is speaking again. Some people responded, many didn't. They didn't like his message, so you know what the authorities did to John? They put him in jail. And then he was beheaded. Listen, nothing will stop the message of God. Nothing. Now here's the last thought I'm going to leave you with. There were magi. Probably around the area of India, we don't know for sure. And by the way, we don't know if there were three, okay? But they were magi. And they were students of the stars. They were pagans. But they knew the scriptures. They knew the prophecy. And so when they saw the star of Bethlehem in the sky, they knew enough that God was speaking. He was speaking again. Because they knew that star marked where the Savior of the world was born. So they followed the star. Took them a long time. A dangerous journey. Traveling on Mercedes camels. Not a good journey. But they persisted, and they found him, and they worshiped him. The Pharisees only lived 3 miles away, the religious people, and they never took time to come and see Jesus. Do you realize that in this day and age in the Northeast, most people live within 5 to 10 minutes of a church? Do we take time to come and worship the Savior of the world? You know, my prayer is that we never take Christmas for granted. You know, I looked through the television listings tonight, and Scrooge with Alistair Sim is on. And I don't know if you've ever seen that. This is the version back in 1952, which is actually the year I was born. And it's a great version of it, but you realize Charles Dickens was a Christian. And he also realized this is the story about Scrooge's conversion to Christ. So if you happen to catch it, keep that in mind. God isn't silent. If you're going through a period now where you think God is silent, he's not. He's still working. You say, okay, Pastor, then what do? We keep obeying. And we learn how to wait. Waiting is no fun. Especially in our culture. Nobody wants to wait. We learn how to wait on God. But in the meantime, we keep being obedient to his word. Listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Worshiping our Savior. And hearing the Holy Spirit calling us back to God when we sin. Because we need to confess and repent of it. Forgiveness was won for us 2,000 years ago at the cross. And that will never change. Diego, I'm going to put you on the spot. Would you come up and just share for a few minutes about how things are going? All right, come on. And then we'll do our candlelight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for having us again. My name is Diego. My wife, Lisbeth, Diego Samuel, Camila, and Antonella. And we moved here about a year and a half ago to Toms River area. And our heart is to reach Latinos for Christ. I'm just learning about Ocean County right now. I've only been here about a year and a half. And so I've been learning a lot about this area. And I don't know if you know this, but in Toms River, in just Toms River alone, there's about 12,100 Latinos. 12,100 in just Toms River, not even counting Forked River, not even counting Barnegat, not even counting the surrounding towns of Toms River. And so we want to rejoice and tell them about our Savior, right? And that's what we've been doing. And so keep us in prayer. We do ESL in Toms River. We do ESL here in Forked River. We have a nice group that we meet here on Thursday evenings. And we're every single evening that we spend time with them, we share the gospel with them at the end of the class. And so here in this room, people are hearing the gospel. Is that exciting? And they're hearing the word of God, and we share it with them. We've had some come to Christ. And so please keep us in our prayers as we continue to share the gospel with those in the Forked River area, Toms River area. We also teach licensed classes, and now we're doing a guitar class. And so we just had our inauguration of our first service in Toms River in the beginning of November. And so we're praying in 3 years that God will raise up more church planters and we can send them to different areas of New Jersey to preach the gospel. And there's so many that are lost and don't know the Lord. And we want to thank all of you for your support. Thank you so much for praying for us. We feel your prayers. We love you all, even though we don't get to see you as much. We were excited to come here tonight. And we're encouraged by the word by Pastor Lou. And so thank you for your support. Thank you for showing the love of Christ to us. And we would love to get to know you all more. So God bless you all.
Tommy, would you mind? We're going to do the offering. And I don't think Butch, would you? Yeah. Remember, this all goes to Diego, and there's some people who aren't here tonight, and I know they're going to be giving Sunday for his ministry, and we'll get him a check. So happens that Joey, the treasurer, is not feeling well tonight, so we'll settle up with Diego, and we'll encourage him as he goes on and does his work. If you haven't met Diego, please introduce yourself on the way out. And Diego, I just want to let you know there's a Spanish-speaking woman here. All right? And she could be of great help to you. So. All right, don't go away. Does everybody have a candle? I'm glad this wax isn't going on a new rug. Give us a chance. Okay, as the men come around, they're going to light your candles. And I'm going to ask you, and as Kimmy comes up, and Chip and Sharon will lead you. We'll do some songs by candlelight. You're welcome to stand or sit, however you want to do this. Make sure you sing.
Joys.
That we sing it as a prayer because our world needs to know that Jesus is alive. Extinguish your candles if you wish. Emily, can you put the Romans verse up there? Ow. I'm going to read this as our prayer tonight. Would you follow along with me, please? Let's pray. May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a great prayer, huh? I pray that you have a blessed Christmas. I pray that 2022 will be a better year for all concerned. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming out tonight, for making time to come and be a part of worshiping our Savior. Thank you to Diego and his family. It's great to see you guys again. And please pray for Diego as we go forward. Father, dismiss us in the power of the Holy Spirit and help us to remember the miraculous birth of our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.